What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. We're talking with Layla in Ontario and basically talking about how it is that societies degenerate into tyranny and propaganda. And Layla, you're right. I'm sure that every government on earth is corrupt to a certain degree. But I think right now, the Olympic gold medal for corruption definitely goes to Washington, D.C. And even Thomas Jefferson, when he was setting this place up, he knew that the curse of political power is that it attracts the very people who should not be allowed to have it. And that's why he tried to craft this system of checks and balances and serious limitations on individual power and authority to try and keep the country focused on doing what was best for the American people. But even he predicted it was only going to last 100 years, and at that point, the American people were going to have to tear it all down again and start over.
And it's not necessarily the country that needs to fall apart or be disintegrated. It's the government that needs to be brought down. Now, if the people, and it may be happening in Britain for all we know, as it stands now, it looks as though Theresa May is going to lose the vote on Tuesday and probably call for a second Brexit vote. And if that happens, there's going to be a great deal of discontent, and they're talking about the possibility of a general election before Christmas. Things are not looking good there, but the same thing possibly in a different kind of way, of course, because of the different systems, but maybe happening in the U.S. Somehow, people have got to be satisfied that the government that they are observing and paying taxes to is not betraying them. They've got to have faith in them. And Trump certainly has not inspired trust or faith. And I think he, although we all gave him the benefit of the doubt in the beginning, I think we now have to look back and ask if he ever really intended to be serving the people, or whether a lot of his performances were merely performances, and that his reality TV show was merely practice for when he would become president, because it was decades before. I remember seeing an interview with a woman, and some woman, I can't remember, Rona something or other, asking him in the 80s, early 80s, if he wanted to be president. Well, yes, of course he did, although he didn't acknowledge it fully, he somewhat did. So it's always been there in his mind, and he's been working towards it. So he certainly has disappointed a lot of people. In my case, I learned to love the U.S. I think the happiest days of my life are the days that I spent in the U.S. And while I was there, I felt that I was part of something greater than anything else that I had experienced or could have experienced. And it's very heartbreaking for me because I want so much to be able to come back to the U.S., but cannot until things settle down. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to make one more observation about journalism. We talk as though journalism has only failed us lately. At the national level, the networks always were treacherous to the people below. In the U.S., not in Canada, but in the U.S., local TV news or local news at any in any medium was always very accountable to the people because they actually depended upon viewership and ratings in order to be able to meet their payroll and make their profits. Having a TV station used to be called a license to print money because of the TV news revenue. Since the decline of local TV news, we have had this drastic event where we're now controlled by the talking heads of the major networks. But that is really not anything new. I remember, everyone has heard of Kim Philby. You no doubt know who he was. Yes. He was a journalist in Austria at the time that he was being recruited by a Jewish communist woman in Vienna. He married her in order to get her out of there. The reason I'm so well aware is because I knew that the Chancellor of Austria had been assassinated, a very honorable man, a man who was never talked about, Engelbert Dollfuss. And he was assassinated while Kim Philby was there, and the communists and the Nazis each wanted to have him assassinated because he stood in the way of either one of them taking control of Austria, because Germany wanted to prepare for the Anschluss, of which it finally did succeed in doing in 1938 because of the assassination of Dollfuss. But ever since then, I mean, Kim Philby ended up being the head of British intelligence. He worked in Cairo. And the other thing we have to keep in mind, too, is while we malign Joe McCarthy, it turns out if we look at things honestly, he was right. I mean, a lot of the people that he fingered, that he was investigating, really were communist agents. One of them being Lester Pearson, who became Prime Minister of Canada, but at the time he was the attaché to the Canadian embassy or consulate in D.C., in Washington, D.C., and he was working for Elizabeth Bentley, who was called the Red Spy Queen in the U.S., and she said that Pearson knew what he was doing. There was a whole scandal here in Canada with communists, but, you know, Joe McCarthy was right. Now, Mueller is doing the opposite, and people compare him with Joe McCarthy. That's not accurate because he's the polar opposite. But anyway,
well, the reason people criticize Joe McCarthy is not really the question about whether he was right or wrong, but how he went about doing it. Just basically, he didn't build a case for espionage against any of these people. He simply denounced them as commies and then sought to ruin their lives, rather, until Edward R. Murrow called him out on it, because a lot of innocent people had their lives ruined. And by the way, back then, it wasn't that big a deal being a communist. There was a Communist Party of the United States of America. It was fully legal, and a lot of people would get together and talk about the principles of communism, but it didn't necessarily mean they were in positions to subvert the government in any way. So had McCarthy not been quite so reckless and grandstanding in his approach, he probably would have been judged a lot more gently by history.
Like any crusader, he may have been too harsh and rushed forward, but Edward R. Murrow, if one looks back now, if you can still find the information, was himself constantly defending communism and was suspected of being a communist. He was also the lover of the daughter-in-law of Winston Churchill, Pamela Churchill, and she was working as a courtesan, as a spy for Randolph. She had affairs with a lot of Americans in order to bring the Americans into the war on for Britain's side. And then she ended up being the one who built Bill Clinton. In fact, when she died, Bill Clinton fought with the French president to bring back her body so she could get the equivalent of a royal burial in the U.S. Pamela Churchill was, anyway, she was in love with Edward R. Murrow. And they were supposed to get married, but Murrow declined. His wife wouldn't give him a divorce, so he didn't marry her. But he himself was under suspicion.
Anyway,
Layla,
we're kind of wandering all over the territory here, and a lot of people are very impressed with the breadth of your knowledge. But can you come to a conclusion?
What I'm saying is that the destruction of our media is not new. It's always been there, going back so far that we don't really know. Leadership is always going to be held accountable eventually. Those are the two things that I take away from what's going on now. And with regard to Trump himself, I don't think he was ever really in charge, and I don't think he knew how to take charge. And we did have other choices. We only had two candidates who won the primaries, But there were others in the Republican primary who could have been a better alternative to Trump. But hindsight is 20/20. So those are the three primary conclusions. But basically, it all boils down to one thing. As you yourself have said, none of this is new. It has all happened before. And that's the tragic part. We keep repeating ourselves. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we do. We do. All right, thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We're going to let you go. We're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates rejoining our network here. And what you need to remember, though, is that prior to the 50s, 60s, yes, a lot of the larger media was very much on board with the Cold War propaganda. But there was a diversity of media that was coded into law. No one corporation could own too much of the media. Now, the 1950s was just after World War II when the CIA had launched Operation Mockingbird to take control over the media. Because prior to World War II, all of these media were small-town newspapers or even big-city newspapers, but they all had individual owners, and that preserved a diversity of opinion. And prior to the first Iraq war, the U.S. government went to the largest of the corporate media outlets and said, we'll make you a deal. Okay, you will embed your journalists with our troops. You will report the war the way we tell you to, and in exchange, we will strike down those laws that limit how much media you can own. And the deal was done. The first Iraq war was propagandized into us with that stolen incubator story, for one example here. And shortly after that, we began to see this period of intense media consolidation, which has led us to the situation we're in today, where pretty much everything that you see, read, or hear goes through just a handful of corporate boards, most of which also have interests in, for example, defense contractors, which is why people are turning to the independent media. Okay, getting on back to domestic politics here. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley is accusing the Fusion GPS founder of giving extremely misleading testimony. And he's drawing parallels between the false testimony that Michael Cohen gave to Congress in 2017 and the statements made by the founder of the firm that commissioned the infamous Steele dossier. And Grassley basically wrote a letter to Connecticut Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal saying that he hoped the Justice Department is handling all of these instances of false statements to Congress with the same level of seriousness they treated Mr. Cohen's. Probably not going to happen. And again, that Steele dossier that links right into Spygate and clearly a dirty tricks campaign by the Democrats back in 2016. It really is worse than Watergate. Okay. Now, Robert Mueller finally released his sentencing memo regarding Michael Flynn, heavily redacted, heavily redacted. In fact, about the only thing it really said is that Mueller said no prison time for Flynn, but senior government leaders should be held to the highest standard, at which point there was a Twitter explosion of laughter and derision. Okay. Foreign lawyer Michael Avenatti is back in the news. As you know, yesterday he officially pulled out of the 2020 campaign. And Stormy Daniels has come on out and stated Avenatti launched a site to raise money for her defense, which pays him without her permission. And this funding campaign raised about $600,000. She has no idea what happened to that money. And Crowd Justice said it is now investigating what Avenatti did, and they're investigating another fundraising site he created to help families at the Mexican border, which raised $159,000. And he claimed this was a campaign on behalf of a group of detained mothers and children. But there's absolutely nothing that specifies the names of the beneficiaries for whom the money is being raised. He's a lawyer, you know. Now, Donald Trump wants to terminate the current NAFTA agreement. A lot of people are probably going to agree with that. But he wants to replace it with a new agreement, the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, which is the UN Agenda 2030 in disguise. And the USMCA, like NAFTA, stifles free trade. It overrides national sovereignty and increases the power of the United Nations and the World Trade Organization. And the document obligates the U.S. to follow UN Agenda 2030 and rule by unelected bureaucrats. Ron Paul is signaling a warning that this new United States-Mexico-Canada agreement actually increases government control. And it entangles all three countries in environmental standards and monetary policy. And even worse, there is a provision in this agreement that grants legal immunity for these tech giants. It allows them to engage in censorship. And anybody, and you can't do anything about it. All righty. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez basically tweeted out that the Pentagon lost $21 trillion and that that would be enough to fund most of her Medicare for All scheme. Well, there's a couple of problems. It is true that there seems to be $21 trillion missing, but that's from the entire government. We don't actually know what's coming out from the how much the Pentagon has lost, because according to the accountants, the records are a complete mess. But Alexandria is still pushing this Medicare for All, which is this socialized medicine single-payer system. In other words, you basically get the same health care that you would get at the Veterans Administration. Now, Alexandria is refusing to retract that claim of the Pentagon losing $21 trillion. And right now, she's in a bit of a jam because she campaigned on just giving away a lot of free stuff. And she's been put on the spot several times by the media saying, how are you going to pay for it? And her reply continues to be, we'll just pay for it. We'll just pay for it. I guess she thinks she's just going to go over to the money tree and give it a good shake. Amazing. As you know, there was a very rough day on the stock markets yesterday. And one of the reasons that Trump may have decided to declare today a federal holiday was to close down the markets and give everybody a chance to relax and get back from the edge of panic. Whether that will work or not, we don't know. But according to this article in Zero Hedge, 2018 is starting to look historic, and this is the worst market since Nixon's administration. So I'm sure that even though Wall Street is officially closed, a lot of analysts are sitting there trying to figure out what the heck is going on. Now, getting back to Ocasio-Cortez and her comment, $21 trillion. That is the official U.S. national debt. Actually, it's a little more than that. It's going up. Basically, it goes up $3 billion per day. Now, you think about that. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about the economy. And before the commercial break, teased into this story about how the current U.S. national debt is $21 trillion. And it's increasing over $3 billion with a B every single day. Now, the U.S. government pays the interest by issuing new debt. But that new debt increases the total debt and eventually drives up the interest rates, which requires more borrowing to pay the annual interest payments. Within another couple of years, the U.S. government will be spending more to pay the interest on the national debt than it spends on the military, and there'll be precious little left over to actually take care of the country. Now, we can see where this is going. When the debt load becomes too heavy, it's all going to come crashing down. It's a mathematical inevitability. So now, take a short break here and get back to the French riots, because apparently Macron is using what are called GLI-4 TNT grenades against the protesters. And this is a tear gas bomb that also contains an explosive charge of 25 grams of TNT. Now, France is the only European country to use these kinds of munitions. It can cause severe injury or even kill. It looks like the beginning of an all-out revolution, because this is not going to calm people down. This is absolutely not going to calm people down. Alrighty, getting on back to the economic news. Putin has initiated a trilateral summit with India and China. Apparently, they all got together on the sidelines of the G20, Buenos Aires, and they put together what's called the RIC format, which is Russia, India, and China. And they're looking at boosting commerce between them, and they're looking at using their own indigenous currencies. So Putin's out there making deals. Trump is making war. Putin's making deals. And bit by bit, countries that used to do business with us are starting to move away here. Now, Russia is already nudging the government of India that they should take their entire country away from the U.S. dollar. So that's what this is really, really all about. Whose currency we're all enslaved to for the next 100 years. Of course, it's very hard to convince Mr. and Mrs. America that they should send their son or daughter into combat because the Federal Reserve doesn't want to give up the dominant currency position of the world. People are going to say, who cares? It's just ink and paper. But that's really what's behind all of this. Iraq was invaded over Saddam's selling of Iraq's oil for the euro instead of the dollar. Same thing with Gaddafi. This is all about dragging the world back to Bretton Woods and reliance on the U.S. dollar globally, off of which the U.S. economic system makes a small profit. Over in Turkey, they've got some problems over there. They've got massive out-of-control inflation. Their currency is plunging. Interest rates are surging. And their stock market looks an awful lot like ours did yesterday. And it's being described as a house of cards. Anyway, over in Greece, their gross domestic product growth is accompanied by weakening trade and falling investment. In other words, it's not going to continue to grow. Now, China is saying they're confident of a U.S. trade deal in 90 days. And Beijing says the two sides are moving forward with negotiations in the next 3 months. So China is saying they'll start with the implementation of the specific matters in which consensus has been reached. The sooner, the better. So we'll see what's going to happen there. But if the United States keeps provoking China in the Taiwan Straits and the South China Sea, things could go the other way. Now, early today, the CEO of General Motors had to testify before Congress about the coming mass layoffs and trying to keep the company afloat. But there's an interesting article that was over in Alternet saying basically General Motors is proof to the world that slashing wages is not the ticket to profitability. Actually, slashing our dependence on the Federal Reserve and its fiat currency loaned at interest would be a lot more profitable. In fact, if we were still on the economic system that this country was started with, there would be no $21 trillion unpayable national debt. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And let's get on back here. We're talking about the economic news. Bloomberg is saying that gold is coiled, which I guess means they expect it could take off very rapidly. And given what happened in the stock market yesterday, that's certainly quite possible. I'm sure a lot of people right now are looking at the stock market and thinking maybe getting into metals is going to be a good idea. But we've seen in the past that gold will be forecast to rise and something happens and it gets shoved back down again, because we know that the equities markets and the banks don't want you going to gold. They want your money in their savings accounts or in their stock market, because if it's not there, they can't play their games. So anyway, according to this article over at Investment Watch blog, silver is at its most affordable in years. Now, that seems counterintuitive to me, because in theory, as the stock market gets nervous, demand for all the metals goes up. Gold, silver, tantalum, platinum. So we'll see. Okay. All right, we already talked about Qatar with a caller there. I think it could be the beginning of the dissolution of OPEC. And Qatar is claiming its exit has no political overtones. They're not saying exactly what's going on here, but it basically ends 57 years of membership. And he noted that the country's impact on the cartel's production decisions will be small, stressed that Doha would continue to abide by its global commitments like any other non-OPEC oil producer. But as I mentioned before, the other member nations of OPEC have become very disenchanted with Saudi Arabia. And they see Saudi Arabia's allowing of too much U.S. influence in the oil market and in the region as a whole. All of these nations took a hit during that poorly thought out attempt to wreck Russia's economy with an oil price war. And Russia's economy proved to be a lot more resilient than was estimated. And other countries took a hit. Saudi Arabia, one of the worst. They had to issue government bonds for the first time in like decades. Turning to our borders and immigration, Mattis has now okayed an extension of the military's border mission through the end of January. Now, yesterday, we had a report that the organizers of these migrant caravans seem to have given up and left. And so it may be starting to unwind at this point. But some of the migrants did get through the fence, and apparently over 400 of them are now under arrest. And apparently a lot of these people turned themselves in to the U.S. Border Patrol in El Paso, Texas. They're still hoping to get asylum, but who knows what's going to happen. And frankly, I think they should be sent home here. Democratic Representative Pramila Jayapal, who was born in India, is out there pushing for more work visas, saying CEOs must get millions of cheap visa workers. And right now, the number of visas is capped at 66,000. And she's saying the U.S. economy requires millions. I don't think any of these visas should be issued unless there's full employment for the American people. And we know there isn't. The corporate media will say, oh, unemployment is only 3 or 5% or some such number. That's just the number of people, the percentage of people who lost their jobs like in the last couple of weeks. Behind that is another group of long-term unemployed. It's a separate category, so they don't count it as part of the overall jobless rate. But there's almost 100 million people in that category. And if you go over to the Bureau of Labor Statistics and you look at the labor participation rate, you will see it is very, very low. And we have these Democrats bringing in migrants and visa workers and refugees, just pouring them into the country to stress an already strained job market. When you add to that, on top of that, the offshoring of many jobs to other countries and the increasing use of automation, this is a bad time to be an American worker. Now, Bulgaria has become the latest nation to basically pull out of the United Nations Migration Pact. And they stated that they're doing it to protect the country's interests. And they're saying we've got to protect our borders. And probably a lot of these countries are realizing this is an attempt by the United Nations to basically take away the borders, start erasing the borders, which is what they want for the New World Order and globalism. So the United States pulled out of this agreement last year. And so far, Hungary, Austria, and Poland have pulled out or expressed reservations. Now it's Bulgaria. All right, so let's talk about Great Britain and Brexit, because things are getting very, very intense there. As we reported yesterday, the Tory government, Theresa May's government, was literally found to be in contempt of Parliament. And even her own party is starting to oppose her. Apparently, the number of Tory member of parliaments who oppose Theresa May and oppose her Brexit deal has grown to 103. So at this point, it does not look like her little checkers Brexit deal is going to pass its vote. Now, because of that contempt ruling or the contempt vote, the Tories were forced to release the legal details on the Brexit deal. And apparently, members of Parliament are furious. They're saying it's unthinkable, that it is really horrible, horrible for Great Britain. In fact, one politician described it as the worst possible outcome. So it's really going to be ugly over there. Now, Mervyn King is out there saying that Theresa May's Brexit deal is an historic error of monumental incompetence. And when you have Tony Blair and Boris Johnson uniting in their condemnation of Theresa May's deal, you know something has gone really, really wrong. And the agreement is less a carefully crafted diplomatic compromise and more like a surrender flag. And that last caller was absolutely right. If Theresa May does not get her checkers deal approved, and if she calls for a second Brexit vote and hires a lot more election riggers, we could see rioting in Great Britain the way that we're seeing it in France. This could be the beginning, literally, of a global revolution from all this efforts at creating a global government. And everybody is just, they're tired of it all. They're tired of the taxes. They're tired of the open borders. In fact, I got an email from somebody saying that the riots in France actually are mostly about the open borders. That's a big part of it. But the protesters can't say that because then they can be arrested for a hate crime. Because in France, you're not allowed to criticize the open border agenda or the migrants, the refugees. Now, Denmark is looking at building special prisons abroad where criminal foreigners will be sent. They're trying to send a signal that such people will not be allowed to remain in the country. And Lithuania is one of the East European nations Denmark is currently negotiating with in order to place criminal migrants sentenced to expulsion. And so, according to Denmark's new policy, criminal foreigners sentenced to expulsion should be imprisoned abroad. Okay, here's an interesting little poll. This is from Information Clearinghouse. Right now, and this is very revealing, 34% of U.S. Americans believe U.S. elites exploited 9/11 for gain. Well, politicians are going to exploit anything that happens for gain. But to me, this is saying that we do have a sizable portion of the American people who are really starting to figure out how government really does work and how it manipulates us and uses us. Now, here's a positive story. Got to have a little good news shoved in there. Otherwise, I'm going to have to spend the rest of the show doing funny cat videos or something like this. Over in California, there's this property developer, Karen Kramer, and she's owner of Blue Wave Solutions. She had a $1 million condo that she received two offers for. And she's put all the deals on hold because she's using this apartment to house some of the families who lost everything in last month's wildfire. And Kramer said that housing a family means more than securing a sale in the long run. So there's somebody who's rich who's got a conscience. That really is great. Now, also related to the fire, and we knew this was going to happen from just how gargantuan the fires were allowed to burn. Apparently, a state judge has ruled that Merced Property and Casualty Company cannot meet its obligations after last month's camp fire. And so they're going under. Merced's assets are about $23 million, but it faces about $64 million in outstanding liabilities just in the city of Paradise. So Merced is now being taken over by the California Department of Insurance, take control of Merced. And according to the court documents, the state's conservation and liquidation office will start liquidating what's left of the company, which basically means that everybody who had a policy with Merced is probably not going to get the expected payouts. They'll get something. Will it be enough to restart their lives? And again, ineptitude was behind the fires. Governor Moonbeam wanting to let nature go back to being nature. You can't do that, or you're going to have a disaster. Happens over and over again. They even did it to Yellowstone. The wildlands have to be managed in order that they do not become a threat to the urban areas, which is exactly what happened here. All right, here's an interesting little story. Well, it's more than interesting. It is a little bit tragic. And the story, it came out of Government Slaves. Apparently, there was this woman, Crystal Thomas, and police were executing a search warrant at Thomas' home looking for her 16-year-old son who was suspected of robbing a store. And Crystal Thomas let them in and said, you know, he's not here. We haven't seen him since he became defiant. He doesn't live here anymore. The police proceeded to smash out the windows, kick in the doors, literally tear the place apart. They even wrecked the little basketball hoop out front, like this kid could be hiding inside. And so now this mother and her children are homeless just ahead of Christmas. So anyway. Now, we've been talking about this all week, and there's probably going to be some other incidents like this. But apparently, to the liberal snowflakes, Christmas has become a trigger word. And it really is absurd. You know something? One of the steps to get back to being a civil and polite society is to have respect for other people's points of view, traditions, and beliefs. Doesn't mean you got to go along with it. But just say, okay, if you want to celebrate Christmas, go ahead. And if you don't, fine, go do something else here. We talked about how this animated classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, first aired in 1964. It's now being denounced for promoting bullying and homophobia and verbal abuse. Then we have that song, the Oscar-winning tune, Baby, It's Cold Outside, is now being accused of being a date rape anthem. Apparently, Deck the Halls is now under criticism because it promotes gay apparel. Santa Baby is under attack. It's being denounced for slut-shaming. And White Christmas is racist because it's white. That's what snow is here. Apparently, one publishing company has issued a redacted version of Clement Clark Moore's famous poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," in order to be more health conscious. The company edited out Moore's mention of Santa smoking a pipe. Now, after a year of Scrooges and Grinches, war, we could all use a little Christmas cheer right now. But the liberals don't want you to have that. They don't want you to have a good time. It goes against their grain. apparently over in the town of Severance, Colorado, it is now against the law to have a snowball fight. Apparently over at Princeton University, they have an a cappella group that used to sing a song called Kiss the Girl from the Disney movie The Little Mermaid. They're now dropping that because of concern that maybe the girl didn't consent. This is really getting silly. And maybe this is avoidance behavior. Maybe people just are so desperate not to have to pay attention to what's really going on in the world that they're just getting themselves buried in this nonsense. All right, we're going to take a quick break for commercials. Back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400. It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Last segment of our program today. And I'm just looking at this video from France. It's about 12 minutes long. And it's just talking about all the destruction over there, the violence. Some of the police are standing with the protesters. And this could be the beginning of a real revolution. And the fact that Macron is using these explosive tear gas grenades that can actually injure and kill people, I don't think it's going to help. I do not think it's going to help. I think the French people are mad, and this is just going to make them even angrier. All right, so as you know, we're getting into Christmas, and you're probably looking for presents for your children, usually of a cyber nature, but you do need to be careful. Now, there's this tablet aimed at children aged between 3 and 9 years, and apparently it has a severe security flaw, which would allow outside hackers to spy on your children. Known as the InnoTab Max or the Storio Max, it sells for about $120. The supposedly safe tablet allows parents to approve a website before their children can visit it. Sounds like a good idea. But apparently, customers with affected devices are at risk of criminals being able to take control of the gadget and snoop on the children, even watch them through the built-in webcam. As we mentioned yesterday, Wells Fargo is now acknowledging that over 500 houses were foreclosed because of a computer glitch. And Wells Fargo's out there saying they're really sorry. I hope that's not the end of it. But you know how bankers can be. Now, this is a very, very sad story, okay? This actually happened a while back, but it's worth mentioning. There was this 16-year-old student who had sex with a female classmate and apparently recorded it on his cell phone. Now, the girl later said that she believed Corey had played the recording for his friends. There's actually no indication that he actually did. That prompted the authorities to summon Corey to the principal's office and basically threatened him with child porn charges. And he wound up committing suicide. Now, here's a good one. Last story for the show today here. There was this police officer who pulled over this car that was driving at 80 miles an hour. Then the car started off again, and he had to jump on the hood to avoid being run over. And according to the public defender, the woman driving the car was on psychiatric medication. All right, there's the music. Time for me to get on out of here and get something useful done with the rest of the day. Stay tuned for John Stadmiller. I'm sure he has lots of interesting things to share with you. Please take what you learn here, share it with everybody that you know, and please donate to Republic Broadcasting. Please donate to whatreallyhappened.com. Have a really good rest of your day, and aloha, America.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.